Craig Bolanos joins us, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG's the website. Welcome back, Craig.
Hey, John, good to be with you. Lots of action in this market on a Wednesday.
Like what?
Well, I mean, we just had the inflation data come in, and the core inflation was the lowest level we've seen in 3.5 years. I got super excited. Or, I'm sorry, the headline inflation was, but then the core that strips out the volatility of, you know, food, energy prices came in a little bit hotter than we anticipated, and that got people nervous that the Fed is only going to give us what I wanted, which is a quarter basis cut next week as opposed to a half. It's not earth-shattering news, but everyone can pretty much lock in right now an 87% chance of having a one-quarter of 1% cut next week from the Fed.
It's always amazing to me when we talk about the target numbers or the expected numbers, and then they come off, but it's a fraction of a percent. You make it sound like 0.3 is a lot different than 0.2.
You know, in the world of finance, every dollar matters, every percentage and every fractional percentage matters, because there is millions, if not billions, if not trillions of dollars that are constantly in play across the globe between central banks, currencies, and transactions. But for everyone who is investing for their retirement in a 401k, everyone who is saving into their IRA and participating in their 529 for college, focus on the long game. Let the traders worry about the day today, and you'll be well served over time.
But inflation is actually very near the target, isn't it?
We're getting closer, and we're getting a lot closer. I mean, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, 2.6%. So we're not yet at 2, but we're at 2.6. And you just had, again, that inflation data come out, the CPI at 2.5. So we're sub 3. This is good news. We're trending the right way. However, we're just not out of the woods yet. We're not yet there. And the Fed's got to balance, you know, achieving lower inflation, which is stable prices, and balance that with continuing to maximize employment. That's the other piece of their mandate. And I think these rate cuts here really aren't about inflation coming down. The rate cuts are about making sure we don't have too many people laid off in the fourth quarter of this year and into 2025.
I want to talk a little bit more about inflation. That came up in the debate last night. And I'm trying to figure out now, when they talk about 2% is the inflation rate that's the target. Is that the core inflation rate or core prices, or is which number are we talking about here?
Well, you know what? I think the only number that matters is personal consumption expenditure, which is what the Fed uses as their preferred measure to actually influence what I call monetary policy, and that's at 2.6%. We can talk again about headline inflation. We can talk about core inflation. The bottom line is we really want to get to a number that resonates with people, and that number we're chasing is 2%. We're not yet there. The longest road to haul is always the last mile, and that's where we've been trapped for a while. But John, I gotta tell you, with oil prices at $67 a barrel, I remember a year ago when it was in the 90s, everything's heading the right direction. I'm just disappointed about shrinkage. That's less unsweetened iced tea and 5 fewer chips in my bag of my favorite brand of crisps.
Well, that does seem to be the way that companies are fighting the high cost that they have to, if not pass along to us, then shrink the size of the product that we're buying. We all notice that. But it's funny to me because the refrain is, oh, gas is so expensive, everything is so expensive. It's more expensive than it used to be. But it does seem to me like gas right now is at a manageable price point for a lot of people. What do you say about the price of gas right now?
I think 87 unleaded, that level of octane, is at a reasonable price in a lot of places across the country. There's still this ginormous delta for what some people call high test, high octane. That's 93 versus 87. But it's definitely going the right way. And we hope it's going the right way for the right reasons. You know, case in point, some of the volatility in the market today has been related to OPEC releasing a report that indicates indicates that demand for oil might be waning in the fourth quarter of this year. That's related to this entire discussion of soft landing versus hard landing. And it's 2 months in a row that OPEC has talked about the, you know, need or consumption of oil coming in at a slower rate. And all that means is our economy is still growing. It's just growing at a slower rate. But no, John, I'm celebrating the price of oil. I'm celebrating the price of gas. I think we're at a point in time that we're at a decent equilibrium there right now today.
Talking with Craig Bolanos. He is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. By the way, a text has just poured in, Craig. It says, Craig is our financial guy. He and WMG are the best. How about them apples?
Hey, I love the accolades. And speaking of accolades, I don't know if there were a lot of accolades for that debate last night. It was fiery, it was tough, and it was light on specifics from both sides. And if you're loyal to him, you thought he win. If you're loyal to her, you thought she won. But if the market's the deciding factor, I look at the rally today in solar and green stocks, and that tells you who some people on Wall Street think came out ahead after Tuesday night's debate.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, what we saw is we've seen a rally today in solar stocks, green stocks, et cetera. And clearly that's a part of the platform that is more dominated by Vice President Harris. So if we look at that on the surface, that rally would tell you that the odds are a little bit closer in her favor after the debate. In the same way, you can look at the stock price of things like Truth Social, Donald Trump's company, and it's not having a great day. That doesn't mean anything about what independent voters are going to choose to do in November, but if we're looking through a lens 6 to 8 hours past last night's debate, it's clear that based on the allocation of money in the markets, Kamala Harris might have done a little bit better last night than former President Donald Trump.
Is crypto then off?
You know, crypto, as a result of Donald Trump's support for cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, things in particular, that is selling off today, and maybe that's related to exactly the same. And while we say that debates don't necessarily have consequences, I think debates do have consequences. Just ask current President Joe Biden if debates have consequences, and I think he would tell you they most certainly do.
Yeah, although a friend of mine said, well, if you ask former President Hillary Clinton, she can tell you that maybe they don't. Some people argue that she did better in the previous debates, but that didn't mean that she won the election. So it is interesting if you want to say who won the debate. I don't know how everybody gets to answer that for themselves, but it is interesting when the markets are saying something. And in this case, traders are betting, if you will, that Kamala Harris will get elected based on last night's debate, right?
That's right. And let's not worry about who won the debate. Let's only focus on who's ultimately going to win the race and what policies are going to be adhered to, either through congressional legislation or what I call executive authority, executive action. More on that to come. John, I've said it on your program before. I'll say it again now. I just hope we don't have a repeat of what we had 24 years ago with hanging chads and have to send this election to SCOTUS, because I don't think the country's too ready for that, and neither is the psychology of the American consumer.
That's my prediction now, where previously I thought Biden was going to lose, Trump was going to win. Now I think it's going to be close and it'll be decided in the courts. And I don't have much of an appetite for that either. Although last night they did mention, at least Kamala Harris did, that Goldman Sachs said that Donald Trump's policy for tariffs would lead to higher inflation and a worse economy. It did make me wonder, and that sounds compelling, but I wonder, is there an arbiter out there for all things economic? Is there a place you can point to and say, well, they said this, therefore that's the truth, at least as we know it today, about the economy? What's that place?
You know, I think that place is 833-WMG-PLAN. You call the Wealth Management Group, and we'll tell you how we think it is. But I can't point to a website. I can't point to a spin room, for sure, John, that's going to tell you that, you know, this is founded in truth. There's shards of truth. It's not just about concept. It's ultimately about how things are executed. And it's not just about tariffs. It's about the level of tariffs. There's too much. I wish I had a centralized database that I could point people to that would actually render a decision on whether policy is going to be economically accretive or a detractor. I don't have that. The proof is ultimately in the pudding, and it's for each of us who are members of this electorate to come up with our own decision on what's good for us, our families, and our local communities.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Are there parts of the economy, that is, sectors, that you think are looking pretty attractive right now?
Well, yeah, what I can tell people right now, and I'm very excited about this, you can tell by the tone in my inflection, is I think it is a great time for people just in their 401ks to really be looking at how much they have in that category that we all call large cap growth. And maybe it's time to start rebalancing that big overweight from large cap growth into large cap value. More specifically, we talked about oil earlier today. If anybody still has an overweight to oil, I think that overweight to oil should no longer be an overweight to oil. I think you want to take some of that oil exposure and get further into healthcare. And then above and beyond that, I think there's a strong argument to be made with five stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, Amazon, and Meta, controlling 25% of the market, that people should be looking at making sure they have at least an ounce of utilities, defensives, REIT into their portfolio to offset what's powered the gains for the last several years, which is technology, and in particular, riding artificial intelligence.
Did you then mention dividend-paying stocks?
I love dividends. In fact, I don't just love dividends. I love dividends that are growing every single year, because if we're going to get retired and stay retired, what is better than to have enough of our capital allocated to companies who are consistently increasing the dollar amount of their payout each year? And a lot of those dividend companies do fall in that large cap value trade I just made reference to, John.
Okay. I can tell by your inflection that you think that's a good idea. Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. That number is 833-WMG-PLAN. It's nice to talk to you today, Craig. Thanks for helping us out.
Great to be with you, John.